It's okay to clap. We had all the kids on the worship team and the drama team. And of course, we had Ryan playing the robot Sam. And really, this is what it's all about. In a day and age where so often we see young people just kind of like, you know, looking askance at things and just sitting aside and, you know, having the body language and the disrespect and everything and so forth, all right, and just kind of saying, I'm bored, you know, kind of thing. No, all right. We have young people that are getting involved, being engaged, serving the Lord, all right, and that is what it's all about. You guys are becoming champions, servant leaders for the Lord. So praise the Lord. And so our VBS theme, the overall theme for this week was know that God is with you. Everyone say that. Know that God is with you. We had much deep sea discovery going on. All right, as every day fish bait would try to figure out their navigation tools, and as it seemed like every day their navigation tools were breaking down and they had to reboot them or something, and then they'd eventually get it all together and send Sam down in the deep sea to discover more about Jesus Christ. All right? And in day one, we discovered that God knows me. Everyone say, God knows me. You know, we talked about Noah and his family surviving the flood and the ark, and that God was with Noah. The Bible says that Noah found favor with God, that he walked with God. God knew Noah. He knew who he was. He knew his personhood. He knew his heart. He knew his thoughts. God knew Noah as he was building that ark and spending all those years to build that ark, maybe even upwards of 120 years dealing with the ridicule. You're building an ark here out in nowhere. I mean, where's the water, Noah? Where is the sea? Where is the ocean? I mean, just imagine the ridicule, the perseverance he had to have during that time. But he persevered and God was with him. He walked with God. And God knows you. God knows your thoughts. God knows your desires, your dreams. God knows your heart. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. You know, don't even try to hide from God. All right? God is familiar with all of our ways. But really, it's a positive thing. We don't want to hide from God. Just to know that God knows us and He's watching over us, that He's sovereign in our lives, that He sees everything in our lives. He sees our needs. He sees our work. He sees the challenges that we face. And He is there. He knows us. And He knows us even better than we know ourselves often. Well, in day two, we discovered that God hears me. Everyone say, God hears me. And we explored Jonah. And Jonah indeed explored the depths of the sea. Because Jonah made a mistake. He chose to run away from God. We don't want to run away from God, young people, right? All right, we might run away from a friend when we're playing a tag game and stuff like this. But you don't want to run away from home. You don't want to run away from your parents. And you don't want to run away from God. All right, you want to stay with God. Well, Jonah was running away from God. And a big storm, he got on the boat, of course, on the ship, big storm came, and he knew that he was responsible for that terrible storm. And he agreed to allow the other shipmates throw him into the sea. And as we know, he was swallowed by a great fish. This is not a fairy tale. This is the Word of God. And even though Jonah was away from home, even though he was in the middle of the sea, even though he was in the depths of the sea, even though he was inside a great fish, even though he didn't have a cell phone, even though he didn't have email, he called out to God and God heard him. God heard Jonah. Jonah called out to the Lord from inside the fish. He prayed to the Lord. He was in a pickle. He wasn't in a pickle. He was in a fish. Jonah was in a fish. All right? And sometimes we get ourselves in situations, and we need to remember to call out to the Lord. We need to remember to pray to the Lord. We need to call out to Him. And God heard Jonah even from the depths of the sea. God commanded the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah up. And we won't try to describe the details of that. And then Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to preach to Nineveh. God hears you. God listens to you. 1 John 5:14. We've been singing about it all week, and Minister Tim was just singing it just now again, and as we joined him, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And the connotation there is that He not only hears us, but He hears us favorably. We need to remember we're dealing with God. We're dealing with Father God. And, you know, maybe you didn't have the greatest father in the world, but typically a father, even an evil father, a father desires to do good things for his children. All right? The Bible says, you know, even though you're human, you know, even though we're earthly fathers, all right, who, if his son asks for a fish, is going to give him a snake? Or if his son asks him for bread, is going to give him a rock? All right? You've got to understand, we are children calling out to our Abba, Father God. And anyone here who is a father or a mother desires to do good things for his children or her children. So he hears us favorably. No matter where you are, no matter your condition, if you have not been serving the Lord, and if you have not been following God, Jonah wasn't following God, you think, well, I have no right to call out for God. No matter where you are, no matter what situation, you can call out to God. He hears your cry. And I want to give some particular encouragement to the young adults here, those that are finishing up high school, those that are going into college, those that are coming into their adulthood, their manhood, their womanhood. My encouragement to you is to learn to cry out to God. As you go to college, as you're away from your parents, yes, I know the cell phone is there, I know the FaceTime is there. I don't know what our family would have done this past year without FaceTime. All right? It was funny because when Anna came back from college, it's like, I miss our 7:30 FaceTime call. Because every night we'd FaceTime her about 7:30. But then she was right there, so it was a little bit weird for a while. All right? You know, okay, talk to your young person through FaceTime, you know? But even if that is not there, to learn to cry out to God, there's a process in which you are learning to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ as you're going through the various issues in life, you're having to make decisions. And it's very important to continue to get counsel from your parents, but to learn to cry out and depend upon the Lord. The Lord is there. The Lord is near. I can remember times at college getting my bachelor's degree and having to go on late night walks and crying out to God, crying out to the Lord. And it's there during those times where my relationship with the Lord was forged, where the Lord spoke things to me and He worked things deeply into my heart. Deep sea discovery. Talk to the Lord. Ask Him to help you. Well, on day 3, we went down to the depths. All right, Sam went back down in there. All right, and we discovered that God strengthens me. Everyone say, God strengthens me. And we learned about how Jesus walked on the water. Jesus went toward His disciples. Remember, the Lord is with us. All right, you may be on a boat, and the Lord might be coming out on the ocean. He was walking on the water toward His disciples at night. And His disciples thought that He was a ghost, and they were terrified. Well, in Matthew 14, verse 27, it says, "But Jesus immediately said to His disciples, 'Take courage, it is I. don't be afraid. The Lord is with us. That's the theme. The Lord is with us. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Christ's presence is the antidote to fear. As we've already learned this morning. Alright? I kept my eyes upon Him and I will not be shaken. Prayer is the antidote to worry. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and petition present your request to the Lord. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And Peter was emboldened. He said, Lord, if it's You, tell me to come to You on the water. There's been some times where I've jogged on the side of Lake Whetstone. Have you ever walked around Lake Whetstone down there? The lake right here in the village. And on the back side, as you're coming around the corner, all right, and you're jogging, that the lake is right there. And I just wondered if I could just keep jogging right onto that water. You know? All right. I have a picture, actually, where we went on a vacation, maybe down in South Carolina or something. I forget what beach it was. But there were some sand dunes way out into the water, and they took some pictures of me running on the water. I've got pictures of it, okay? All right, where I'm running on the water. And that was a wonderful thing to be way out there in the ocean. But Peter was walking on the water. And it says, Jesus said, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked in the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Peter walked on the water. He was walking toward Jesus. He had his eyes on Jesus. As long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he took his eyes off Christ and he started to sink. But the Lord caught him. The Lord is with you. At the same time, we need to remember when the storms of life come into our life, we need to remember to keep our eyes on Christ amid the storms. That is something that the Lord grows in us. That as storms come in our life, He enables us more and more to keep our eyes on Christ. And as we've been learning, to learn how to stand and see the salvation of the Lord in our lives. We need to remember that the Lord is with us through the storms. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Say, I am helped.
I am helped.
My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song. Well, on day 4, we discovered that God loves me. Jesus came walking by the sea. He had many stories that had to do with the ocean and the sea, I should say, this week. And Jesus came to help His disciples. Again, He was with them. Jesus wants to come to us. Jesus is watching out for us. Maybe it seems sometimes that He's watching from afar, but He's watching. He's watching over us. And Jesus is watching over His disciples. And Peter had... They were all in confusion after Jesus rose from the dead and hearing report. They were all, the crucifixion. They hadn't recalled everything that Jesus had said and hearing reports of His resurrection and, waiting around and so forth. And Peter said, I'm going out fishing. I'm going fishing. And some of the disciples went with Him. And Jesus came. And He showed His love for His disciples. Jesus showed His love for them by providing for them. They were working as fishermen, but that night they had caught no fish. Sometimes we're working, doing the job that God has called us to do, but it seems like nothing has happened. There's no fish coming. There's no fruit coming. They were working, but there seemed to be no advancement. Well, Jesus gave guidance. He said to put the nets on the other side of the boat. And they caught 153 large fish. And Jesus cooked His disciples breakfast. Have you ever had anyone cook breakfast for you? I mean, that is a loving thing to do. All right? When my wife cooks breakfast for our family, all right, I'm just so thankful. All right? That is such a loving thing to do for someone to cook breakfast for you. All right? That showed Jesus' love for his disciples. But more significantly, we know that Jesus showed his love for his disciples and for us when he died on the cross for our sins, when he sacrificed his love for us. And that sacrifice was motivated by his love. And love is the greatest motivator. God loves me. God loves us. In this world, with the violence and the conflict, the bullying, the fights and the put-downs, we need God's love. It's where it all starts. It starts with the put-downs. And the put-downs lead to the fights. And the fights lead to people feeling like they've got to join up with other people, like gangs. And gangs are coming against others. And then we have the knives and the guns. And then we have the wars where people are trying to, you know, gain power and control other people and so forth and so on. Well, in order to turn that process around, we need Christ's love. The only true answer is true love. The only true remedy is a change of heart. The only true change can come from Jesus Christ. The greatest motivator in all of the world is love. And this world needs to be motivated by love and not by fear. Fear is a big motivator, but we need more of the motivation of love as opposed to fear. And God is love. God loves you. God loves me. And God wants us to be a part of that change in our world. And the only way is through Jesus Christ. We need Christ in order to have that love to bring about that change. We need God's love. And this love is not a feeling. It's not selfish. It's a love that is willing to make a sacrifice. It's a love that it's not like the daisy game, you know, where a young girl's hoping that this guy loves her and he says, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. And you get to the end of the daisy and you find out whether he loves me or he loves me not. It's not conditional like that. It's unconditional love. It's not temporary. This love is not temporary. It's eternal. It's not up and down and all over the place. It's steady. It's something that can be counted upon. It's something that we put our faith in as Christians. It's God's love. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4 because this is such a beautiful passage on God's love and I really want this to sink in. 1 John 4:7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God." You want to know if a person is a Christian? All right, see whether they love. "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God," do you acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you acknowledge that Jesus is Lord? "If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God." And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We depend on it. We rely on this love. God is love. "Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. The love of God. God loves me. Well, on day 5, we discovered that God sends us. The robot Sam went down in the depths of the sea, and we discovered that God sends us. And Paul and Barnabas in the Bible were sent out by God. They were sent once. All right? They were apostles. And God calls all of us to be those apostles, those sent ones that are to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Paul and Barnabas set sail and they were sent to share the gospel all over the Mediterranean, all over the Middle East. And God is sending us. He may not be calling you to China right now, but He works through you. All right? He is calling you to tell His story, the story of how Christ died for us. He is calling us to tell His story of how He's changed our lives. He's calling us to tell our testimony of how the Lord has worked in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in my parenting, helping me to be a better husband, helping me to be a better father, helping me to be a better employee, to share our testimony. What do we share with others? We share how glad we are for what the Lord has done in my life. We share about what He's done in our lives, how without Him we would be lost, how He makes all the difference, how He gives us purpose in making that difference in other people's lives, and how God is God wants to use you to impact others, to show His love, to share His love. And so we got to remember every day to put on our boots of peace in this world. There's many things that are going on in this world. There's a lot of things that we're going to see on the news this week with the Republican convention in Cleveland and so forth and so on. We need to be the ones that put on our boots of peace, all right? And in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our places of work, wherever we are, to help be those ministers of reconciliation in society, to help impact others. And as you are sent, remember that God promises to be with you. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. All over and over and over, when God calls us, He says, I will be with you. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God says, surely I am with you as you are sent. We're sent to make disciples. We're sent to share the good news of Christ. Let's all stand. I'd like us all to close our eyes. Again, all week long we've been focusing on this theme, to know that God is with you. There's only one way to know that God is with us. We're not saved and going to heaven because basically we're a good person, or we've been religious, we've grown up in a Christian family. There's only one way to know that we're going to heaven. We have to know that God is with us. There's only one way, and that is to have Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What is the road to heaven? What is the highway to heaven? The road is Jesus Christ. He is the road. Jesus Christ is the only way. We got to have Jesus Christ. We got to have a relationship with Him. John 1:12 says, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Let's all close our eyes. I want to give you the opportunity today to make sure you know you have Jesus Christ. To know that Christ is with you. That's the theme. Know that He is with you. You can know that He is with you. And we know, not trying to earn it, being good enough. We know it by making Him our Lord and Savior. By receiving Christ. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved.